I am not going south on you. Wow. That's an interesting introduction. Stay up here a minute. Well, yesterday was kind of humbling. I kind of feel like Huckleberry Finn. You know, that's the guy that got to go to his own funeral. You guys said a lot about me. I hope I can be the shadow of the guy you talked about yesterday when I go south. But with that, thank you so much for all that you did and said. It's amazing. I can't wait to watch TV about 3 weeks from now when it's hooked up. But before I go, one thing I'm going to miss terribly is this man praying before I preach in the mornings. So please, one more time, grab a mic and pray again.
All right. Father, we come today to worship you, to praise you, and to honor you. We thank you for all you've given us, Lord, your grace, your mercy, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and your never-ending faith. But most of all, we thank you for that most precious gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who you sent to take our stripes, suffering, humiliation, and pain, and there on that cross at the hill of Calvary, You suffered and died, but were buried, and you rose again on that third day that we might have everlasting life.
Yes,
and we know now that you are, 40 days later, you are sitting at the right hand of the Father, and one day at the sound of the trumpet, and that could be very well one day soon.
Amen.
You will return once again in all honor and glory, at which time every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, you are indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes,
now I ask you, Lord, to put all your blessings, all your mercies upon Pastor Clark as he goes down to Jacksonville to try to start up a new ministry. We ask for safety, for good health, Lord, and longevity. Give him all your strength, your boldness, and your mercy that he can fulfill and carry on and continue to carry out his mission in this life of servitude for you. Mm-hmm. And we ask all of this in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God
Amen.
Bless.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate that so much. Amen. You know, this is hard. I've never had to leave a church under bad circumstances, and yet again, here I am leaving. Another time when I have to say goodbye to people I love. Good news is I'm only 3 hours down the road. I'll be back for graduation of those high school students. And I'll be back to dedicate the new building. And I'll be back in different times to get my shots. And I'll stop in and make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. I hope you'll indulge me this morning with just a little personalizing of the scripture. And you can attribute it to my last Sunday or being my last message to my beloved church. Because I want to leave you with a promise that God made and a promise that he kept to one of his special people. I believe that promise is also for me, and I think that promise is for you if you'll just embrace the terms of it. I think you're familiar with the story and the promise. But before I get into that story, Miss Betty's been trying to get our Sunday school students and our adult students to learn a scripture passage. Let me see the hands of anybody that's memorized Matthew 22:37. Praise God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus said that was the first and great command. But you know, it's usually unheeded, memorized, but not done. You see, we do love God with our hearts, just not our whole hearts. Well, what does that even mean? What does it look like when someone loves God with their whole heart? When we love God wholeheartedly. I said I want to personalize the scripture this morning. I want to tell you a true story. There was once a couple of men of God who are called to be something called church planters. If you don't know what that is, that's a person who goes into a community where there is a church, maybe two, but there's a people group not being ministered to. And they gather them together and they help them become a church until they organize or constitute as a church, and then they move on and plant another church. These two men were told, you don't have the credentials. You haven't been a Baptist long enough. You're this, you're that. These two men were told, you don't have the resources. You don't have the education. You don't have the manpower. You don't have even the ability to take that land that you say God's calling you to. But you see, these two men heard a different voice. I think they heard the voice of the Father. They believed God and they did enter in. And these two men were serving God wholeheartedly. Listen, God gave them the lands where they went. And churches grew. Not just one or two, many grew up because these men followed God wholeheartedly. God gave them the lands where they went, every place they set their feet. Did they have failures? Yes. Some of those missions they started made it for 3 or 4 years and did not make it. The average number of churches that makes it out of 5, only 3 make it. One never gets through the first year. That's in the whole country of the United States. Home missions I'm talking about. One of those two men was older than the other. You know these men. One was Pastor Randy, and I was the other. No mistake about which one was the older. But you know, there's a great biblical parallel to what we saw. How many of you remember the story of when God sent 12 spies into the land? Remember that? Into the promised land that he said, I'm going to give you. Before he brought his people in, he sent spies into the land. Well, 10 of those spies gave a negative report. You can't do this. There are giants in the land. You're like grasshoppers in your own sight, even though they carried the fruit of the land and showed how great it was. And as a result of that negative report, people of God wandered for 40 years in the desert. Until all of them died except two. And the two that did not die were Joshua and Caleb, the two spies that gave a different report. The two who trusted God. Numbers chapter 13 verse 30 says this, then Caleb, the older one, he silenced the people before Moses and he said, we should go up and take possession of the land. For, well, listen, we can certainly do it. You see, Caleb knew that God was with them, that God was going on ahead, that God was giving them the land. But the other 10 only saw what they saw, not what they believed. And so they listened to the majority report, and only the 2 years later got to enter. Numbers 32 verse 12 says this, not one except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun. For they followed the Lord. Listen, they followed the Lord wholeheartedly in the midst of opposition. Even in the midst of all that wilderness wandering, why didn't we just do what God said to do? But because they believed God wholeheartedly, they got to go in. In fact, there's a promise that God gave to Caleb, the older one. Numbers 14:24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, watch this, I'll bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Do you get that? He's going to go in there an old man, but his descendants are going to have that land because he believed God wholeheartedly. So years later, after all that wandering, there's Israel at the entrance to the promised land. And again, we get to hear from old now, Caleb. He was old when it started. He's older now. 45 years older, in fact. Listen to what is recorded in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 and following. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore that land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites, who went up with me, made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God, here it is again, wholeheartedly. Are you beginning to see this? What it takes for God to give you such a glorious promise? Caleb continues. He says, so on that day, the day he made the good report, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Caleb goes on now then, just as the Lord promised, he's kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, if you can do the math, he tells us, 85 years old. I still got 14 more years to go. 85 years old, and listen to what he says. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country. One version says, now give me my mountain. Now, I don't know if he really meant physically, if he's that strong. I don't think he was Jack LaLanne. I think he meant as spiritually, I'm as strong then. He knew that God was going with him. And he had the same conviction now as he had back then. And if God be with us, who can be against us? Caleb got that. So he's ready to take the hill country. But listen to what he says about that. He says, you yourself heard that the Anakites were there. Anakites were the giants. They were people like Goliath. That's who old 85-year-old Caleb was going to go in and do battle with. He says, you heard the Anakites were there, and their cities are large and fortified. But watch this, the Lord helping me, I'll drive them out just as he said. Well, then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and he gave him Hebron, that's a mountain, as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since. Why? Because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Amen. See, that's when you get the promise of God. When you do what you say you're going to do and you keep on doing it as long as there's breath in you, wholeheartedly. Because it's not about you. It's about him. And when God is with you, who can stand against you? We can do all things, we say, through Christ, who strengthens us. When we are weak, he is strong. So many verses that tell us, give me my mountain. No matter what it looks like ahead of you, if God's called you to it, you will be successful. Just don't shrink back. You see, our God is faithful. God keeps his covenant, the Bible says, to all generations. Did God make you a promise? He made us a promise about this building. Will he keep his promise? If we serve him wholeheartedly, he will. It's a done deal. Because see, his only requirement is for us to be wholehearted. To focus on him and not the enemy. To focus on him and not the negative reports. To believe God. And when you believe God, all things are possible. No matter how old you get. No matter how weak you get. No matter how tired you think you are. That's when you get going your strongest. Pastor Randy and I have lived this dream time and again as church planters. Starting from next to nothing. Being told you'll never get anywhere. And seeing what God could do. Every time we followed God wholeheartedly. I can't believe how many times we heard words like these. You can't build a church near a railroad track and in next to a disreputable trailer park where the police show up every night. It can't be done. Really? God can. So yes, you can. If God calls you to that kind of building, that kind of location, if God called you and you follow him wholeheartedly, yes, you can. You know how I know? Because yes, we did. You can't build a church in an old farmhouse that has a crippled horse whose hooves have not been taken care of, standing next to that church, sad, right there, and expect people to come. Well, you can't, but God can. And if God can, yes, you can. And yes, we did. You can't change drunks and addicts. Don't mess with those folk. They'll only ruin your church. Well, they're right about that. We can't change drug addicts or alcoholics. But listen, God can. And guess what? Yes, he did. And not only did he, that became one of the strongest churches I've ever pastored. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. This is one that I thought was hilarious. You can't start 5 new missions on one Sunday using 2 missions people to do it. One mission with 50 and the other with 35 people. Just can't be done. Really? Well, guess what? God can. And guess what? We did. 5 missions, 1 Sunday. I got an award with my church for partnering to start 5 missions. I had Randy's help from Waverly at the same time. How do you do it with such little force? By using what God gave you and trusting God said, do it, and we did it. Listen, whatever God says is possible, that's what's possible. God says it's possible to get in this building this year. The question isn't whether God can do it. The question is will you do it wholeheartedly? Because when you're wholehearted, God shows up every time. I heard this too. You cannot train 7 pastors without Bible college or seminary. Oh, really? Well, God can. And God did. And 7 pastors came out of that small mission. From one mission, 7 pastors and 3 deacons. How's that happen? Well, it's not because man is so great. It's because our God said, you can do this. And we did. Well, how about this one, a little more modern for you? We had a whole denomination almost tell us, you'll never build a flagship church with 70 people, many of whom are older, who are settled in a church that's been there forever. You're never going to do that with 70 people. You're sitting in it. You see, with Christ, we can do all things. He gave the vision, and the people had a mind to wholeheartedly follow him. Now, did everybody come along? No. But not only did everybody not come along, God filled up those who were missing and added even more. Why? Because God said, do it. And if you'll do it wholeheartedly, I'll show up. And as we did it wholeheartedly, God has showed up. Okay, we're stopped in our tracks right now. Why? And I'm going to say it to you because I can get away with this because I'm fired already. I'm gone. We're not doing it wholeheartedly anymore. You understand what I'm saying? We're short by $1 million, maybe. And when we get wholehearted, that $1 million could go like that. And when that happens, I'll have to come back here within 2 or 3 weeks and preach in the sanctuary, maybe 2 months, maybe give it a month. Wouldn't take that long. A lot of the material's there. You know what's lacking? The heart. Because when you have the heart, it gets done. We had the heart to build this structure. We had the heart to clear all those trees. We had the heart to build 2 ball fields and a pavilion. And when we were wholehearted, God showed up. With struggles along the way, God showed up. Your Joshua is Pastor Randy. He said something terrible about me. He told you what movie I liked. He told you I went to see a dumb movie. Well, I just needed the dumb movie at the time. It wasn't that good. But the problem was, when I saw it, I was really depressed, and it made me laugh so much. I said, there's this great movie we got to go see. When I saw it the second time, I was embarrassed. I took him to it. But I needed it, I guess. I saw that movie and laughed wholeheartedly. But let me tell you something about your Pastor Randy. He follows God wholeheartedly. Because if he didn't, I would have been saying goodbye many years ago. I know that because I walked with him when he had nothing but mission people. And I've walked with him here. And I like to think of myself as Caleb. I'm not 85. I don't even know if I'll get that far. But I am older than I was when I started. So I like to think of him as your Joshua and me as your Caleb. And so I say today to God, give me my mountain. My mountain to me is what God called me to do, start another church like I did before. Do it all over again to the glory of God. I miss those days, to be honest with you, when I got to gather people together because that was my calling. But I'm leaving behind Joshua. Follow him. Say to your neighbor, I'll follow him. Say to your neighbor, I'll follow him. As long as he follows God. Because listen, I love my pastor. It's the hardest thing in the world to say goodbye to him. Fortunately, we live in a generation and a time when we can Facebook, FaceTime, whatever you call that. And now I have a TV that I can watch him preach to me again every week. Once he hooks it up. Nothing's impossible for that man. Electronically, I'll tell you. But listen, he is your Joshua. He walks with God. Is he perfect? No, none of us are. But he's wholehearted. And that's what you need. Listen, Joshua and Caleb were just men. Mere men. They weren't something supernatural. They didn't wear capes. They were average, everyday men who chose to follow God wholeheartedly. Men like us. They believed God, they heard from God, and they followed God. And because of that, Joshua and Caleb were blessed, and the whole generation died before them. But they got to go in. Throughout the Bible, our common men, like Joshua and Caleb, or the 12 disciples, if you don't count Judas, or Daniel, or Joseph, or men like Pastor Randy and me. Men who purpose to follow God, whatever the obstacles, and there's going to be some. Some of them are financial. Some of them are emotional. Some of them are demonic. But no matter what the obstacles are, even if there's giants in the land, follow the plan that God gave you. Were any of those men in the Bible perfect? No, the Bible paints his heroes warts and all. And you could spend a lot of time, just as much as you said nice things about me yesterday, you could point out my flaws as well. In fact, it's easier for me to see the flaws, to be honest with you. In fact, I thought you were talking about somebody else. I want to mow that guy's grass. I think he walks on water. If I could just be a shadow of that, Caleb, when I go to get my mountain, I will be so successful. So you have an obligation now to pray for me while I'm gone. As I pray for you to be wholeheartedly getting into the land. Because you can do it. Because God goes with you. None of those guys were perfect, neither Randy and I. But such men desire to follow God wholeheartedly. That's their desire. My question, my parting challenge to you is this. Are you going to be that people that follows wholeheartedly and not the people that heard the negative reports and said, we can't do this, and never get to enter in? Will you be that people that complete this great work that we saw as a vision years ago? Will you rise to the challenge? Will you give and serve and love and witness and work and pray wholeheartedly? I want to leave you with one example. One more example of such a man. His name is King Hezekiah. His story is found in 2 Kings and other places, but 2 Kings 18:5 says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. And listen, it says, there was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him, not even Solomon. What made him so special? Well, if you have a lot of time this afternoon, read all he did in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Look up Hezekiah and read it. It's a lot. It's amazing. No one like him. He served God, the Bible says, faithfully and, watch this, wholeheartedly. How do I know? 2 Chronicles 31:20 and 21 says this. This, saying everything that went before, this is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful. Good and right and faithful. Thank you. Before the Lord his God, in everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple, in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly. And so he prospered. You see, and so he prospered. Why? Because he followed God in every way he could, wholeheartedly. So he accomplished more than any king before or since. His claim to fame was simply that he sought God and worked wholeheartedly. That's the heart I want for God. When I actually do die and there is a funeral service, when they start saying some of those good things to my family about me, I want them to be true. I want them to say, there's a guy that followed God wholeheartedly. When it was good, when it was bad, when it looked right, when it didn't. When God told him, he did. Is that where you live today? Or are there those areas in your life that you held back something? Maybe you believed a false report, because there's plenty of them floating around. We call it fake news. Maybe you entertained some negative thinking. Has your service been good, listen, but not great? Do you remember the story of a guy named Joash? He called a guy who was a then-dying prophet named Elisha to help him in a battle, his last battle. And Elisha came to his bedside and told him to strike the ground with some arrows. And he did. Wham! 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 And he was so proud of himself. And Elisha scolded him and said, why did you hit it only 3 times? Why didn't you keep striking and striking? For as many times as you struck the ground, that's how many times you'll defeat your enemy. And you could have wiped him out completely. You see, Joash's problem was he did what God's prophet said half-heartedly. He did hit the ground 3 times. Is that the kind of victory you want? Or do you want to, if God tells you to strike some arrows to the ground, you get those arrows, you just get beaten the ground with it until he says, stop. Enough, he would have said. They're thoroughly destroyed. But he didn't. Want to see this building finished? Get wholehearted. Want to see your families won to Christ? Get wholehearted. You say, Pastor, I've been wholehearted. Really? The Bible says when you're wholehearted, it gives you the desires of your heart. I'm heading south to Jacksonville after I go east to Ohio and then come back and fix my house and all of that. But eventually, I'm heading south to Jacksonville. And all I ask God is, give me that mountain. You say, well, that's not a mountain. You've already been there once before. I think I already got the easiest blands to win. I got the harder blands to get now. The ones that haven't come along for the ride. And a number of other people. And God has already given me over 25 people who want to start a new work. I never had that start. It's usually just my wife and 2 kids. I don't know what's going to happen when you have 25 people as a core group. If they're serious. If they're wholehearted. Pray for me that my last days will be as wholehearted as my earlier days. I'm praying for Pastor Randy. That he'll continue to lead this fellowship wholeheartedly into their promised land, because that's not the end of it. There's a college and a senior center, senior living spaces. There's all sorts of things yet God wants to do through you. And I get to be a part of it because I'm only 3 hours away. Listen, if you're here today, you never heard the voice of God calling you into his family, then I implore you this morning, first, before you get a dream about following wholeheartedly into the building, follow God with your whole heart. Say, you know, I'm tired of being just a pew dweller. I've been to church. I've been baptized. I've been a member. I know all about God, but I have no relationship with him. That's more important than anything else I've said. Trust God with your salvation. Say, I'm tired of trying to do it, because he'll do it. Invite him into your heart this morning. There'd be no greater joy for me than someone gets saved on my last sermon. Say, well, yeah, but the sermon was about being wholehearted. Listen, you can't get saved unless you're wholehearted. So you take your heart and you look at it and say, it's desperately wicked of sin. God, I put it down and I want a new heart. Create in me a new heart. Restore a right spirit within me. And he'll do it. If you're lost this morning, today is the day God came to rescue you. And then after you're born again, saved of the Spirit of God, washed in his blood, then you become part of the families of faith. Won't you come home today? Join these families of faith and serve God wholeheartedly. Stand with me. We're going to pray that God's Spirit have his way with us one more time. This altar is a place where you come to make a sacrifice. I said it so many times at the end of my sermons. Romans 12:1. Present your bodies, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to him. That is your spiritual worship. Come wholeheartedly. Don't hold anything back. And dear Christian, if you know you're born again and you know you've held something back, say, you know what? I get pinched a little bit today. I've been doing a lot for God, but not all I should. Then maybe you need to present your whole body to the Lord and say, I'm not holding anything back now, God, whatever it takes. I'm all in. Maybe that's what he's saying to you today. But God's trying to say something to us today, something critical. He wants us to be wholehearted. Father in heaven, these are your children. This is your church. These are the ones you gave the vision to. Lord, if there's one in this place that needs Jesus as Savior and Lord, let today be the day of salvation for that one. Lord, if this is the day when someone wants to be all in, says, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever's left in me, whatever strength I have left, make me wholehearted so that I might give everything I'm supposed to you in time, in goods, in service, in love, in prayer. Oh God, whatever you ask of me, let me do it. For that Jesus would get glory in this place. And the world might know that God always keeps his promises. In your name I pray it. Amen. Would you come? God's calling those to repentance. And he's calling those to a new start. He's calling us to be wholehearted. Is that you? Is he calling you today to be wholehearted? Notice Caleb was wholehearted when he was 40. He was still wholehearted when he was 85. It's not about age. It's a matter of your heart. Won't you come? Won't you come? Well, as we close, let me say once again how privileged I've been to be a part of this fellowship, be a part of be a teammate of my pastors, and to see the growth in so many, to see a school get built. Never thought that could happen. And even be a part of that, to be a principal when all I ever was a substitute teacher back at Jacksonville. I will be back for graduation night, 11 seniors graduating. So excited about that. You may not know this, but one of our missionaries that just came to us this week got saved Wednesday night. It's incredible what God is doing because of your prayers. Let's pray for our Sunday school teachers today, that God fill them, anoint them, and help us to learn the Word of God together. And pray for one another. And remember, pray immediately, witness spontaneously, and love unconditionally. Father in heaven, as we dismiss to our Bible study time, bless our teachers with the children and with the adults. Bless our praise team as they get ready to lead us into worship. Bless our ushers and greeters who don't get to go to Sunday school because they're doing your work, making people feel welcome in this place. Hide our pastor behind the cross. For the rest of his ministry here, may he be prosperous and continue to be wholehearted. And go with us as we part for just a short time. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.